You are listening to This is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to This is Stockton. I'm your host, Wes Ray.
And I'm your host, Amy Alpers.
And before we get started today, just a quick reminder to do some like, subscribing, and sharing of the This is Stockton podcast. We've been growing a lot, especially on Apple Podcasts. So if you're one of those Spotify listeners, you know, give us a follow there. But we'd love you to continue to share the podcast with your friends and subscribe to the podcast and engage and review the podcast where you can. That does definitely helps us get some reach. And then also just remember to use our hashtag Visit Stockton, and then find all of our events on the Visit Stockton events calendar when you're looking for cool things to do. But we are excited to have our guests here today, Amy. You know, we've made a long tradition in our office to support this organization, the Emergency Food Bank. We volunteered out there and done tours out there, but of course we've done their food distribution. We volunteered to do that for many years in the past. And then, of course, our team always does the Run Walk for Hunger as long as I can remember. I mean, we did it when we had our offices at the Civic Auditorium, and that was like 12 years ago. So we've been doing it as a team. You know, the organization pays for our team to participate in the Run Walk for Hunger each year. And so we did that on Thanksgiving morning this year. It was a beautiful day. So I'm just glad that we can talk about something that's a great service for our community and has been around a long time. So we're all going to learn more about it this morning.
Yeah, we'd love to hear it. So without further ado, joining us today is Leonard Hansen. He is the CEO of the Stockton Emergency Food Bank. And Leonard, before we get into the main portion of today's interview, why don't you tell us a little bit about your Stockton story?
I've been in Stockton now for 3.5 years.
Right on.
And I've been very well welcomed. I have to say that I've been through many, many cities in Northern California as a retailer. I was part of a large supermarket chain and had stores that I supervised all over Northern California, as far as north as Lincoln. And also we had 7 in Southern California. So we did a lot of traveling, and going through Stockton was a pretty common affair, and we had multiple opportunities to be here. But having landed here in a position as fruitful and wonderful as being at the food bank, and it is because the people there make it special, has been a welcoming experience. And every time I've walked into an agency or a Visit Stockton or a Rotary Club, there's always a smile and a welcome. It's a special place.
We love to hear it. That's the whole point. Yeah, it's so good.
So you came 3.5 years ago, and you obviously had a whole former career. So why did this job, what made you say, I want to run the food bank in Stockton, California?
I have devoted several years now to service endeavors and the give back part of life. And this is a real expression of how to do that for me, because I walk away each day glad I was there. And I think most of our staff feels the same way. And it's a wonderful experience, and you're doing a great deal. This is the second nonprofit that I've been associated with. I did Howard Training Center in Modesto for many years, and it was a training adults with disabilities. And we had all sorts of vocational programs with Caltrans and with the city of Ceres. And we did all the senior meals in the county. So it was a wonderful experience. And, you know, all businesses have their days when it doesn't go right, but you remain nimble and you keep going.
Yeah. Well, Andy Prokop, who used to run our United Way here years ago. I'm not sure if you ever had the chance to meet Andy, but one of his words was, you know, that he was doing his heart's work, because of course he had a career owning all the Carl's Juniors here in Stockton, sold those off, and decided that his heart's work was his next mission. It sounds like, Leonard, that you're doing your heart's work now.
I agree. It was an impulse, and then it was a let's do this, and now it's we can say, okay, I did that, and it's good.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's great.
Leonard, can you give us an overview of what kind of services are provided at the Stockton Emergency Food Bank?
I can indeed. The overview starts with the Emergency Food Bank is a client-facing food bank. That is not a normal thing. It's not abnormal, but it's not the traditional way. Many food banks work through pantries that are associated with it, and we do that too. We have 23 who work with us on a regular basis, but we also serve at the food bank. And so we are out there giving out food every day, 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday. And that's how we started 55 years ago, and that's how we will continue, because it brings us face-to-face with the customer, face-to-face with the problems, face-to-face with the opportunity to make things better. And this particular year follows several years of growing need. We've served 124,042 families in 2019. For the calendar year 2022, that number was 299,975.
Wow.
We are running somewhere around 40% over that this year. That translates out to, in the pandemic, we served 270 cars a day at the food bank in 3 hours. Yesterday, we did 525, and that's pretty common these days. And that's inflation-driven, people with jobs and trying to make ends meet and making a decision about whether they can buy a tank of gas or groceries today.
So math is not my strong suit, but I think those numbers are too big to only be servicing folks in Stockton. Is that correct? Does the emergency food bank serve people outside of our immediate community?
We serve the entire county. If you're a resident of San Joaquin County, you can come to the food bank twice a month.
Excellent. Yeah.
It's amazing. Wow. I mean, it's not amazing, because that's not probably the right word, but it is, I guess it's sad in a lot of ways, right? I mean, you know, it's, I think we're very lucky that you are here, your organization is here, because hunger is one of the most core needs, right? We need food. Everybody needs food, because it impacts everybody's ability to work and function. Of course, we know when we talk about kids in school, hungry kids do not perform well in school. So the service of providing someone with the opportunity to provide a meal for themselves or their family is, you know, one of the, I think, most important things that any organization can be involved with or do in a community, because it is such a vital thing. I mean, we have amazing nonprofits in this community, but making sure, you know, obviously shelter is one of those big ones, right? But food is essential to everybody's life. And so it's amazing to hear those numbers, just because you kind of would hope that what we went through in 19 and 20 and 21 was the worst of what we could see in the community. But obviously with those numbers, we still have a lot of need in our community. And it's just really heartening to hear that you're still serving that many.
We're part of 42 food banks who belong to the California Association of Food Banks. So we get a lot of statistics to share among other cities. And we've had opportunities that have come to us through that, such as USDA boxes back in the pandemic. But the reason I brought it up was that we're at 12.9% food insecure in this county. That compares to 10.5 nationwide. Mm. So we're running on a high side of where we could be as far as people who are insecure. It's about 90,000 people in the county who are food insecure on a regular basis.
Gosh, that's crazy too, being we're in California where we grow probably most of the food for the entire nation, yet we have above average food insecurity rate. That's wild.
I was working with a gentleman who has a food policy council in Fresno. And Fresno, of course, is another enormous agricultural area. And their numbers are the same as ours.
Interesting.
Wow. Yes. So I'm kind of curious too, because I'm not sure that everyone who's listening understands. So obviously during the holidays, food banks are very top of mind, and you do the Stuff the Bus, and you know, a lot of folks and companies and businesses donate turkeys. And so there is obviously a lot of people who support food banks during the holidays and year round. But can we talk a little bit about where you source a lot of your food? Because I know personal donations and cash donations and food donations are very important, but you get a lot from corporate giving, right? I mean, like Trader Joe's or from grocery stores who provide you products. How does that all work?
We are in the food rescue business. So if there's a mistake made, or there's a problem, or there's an overorder, or there's an issue of some kind, people will reach out to us. We have many corporate partners. One of the strongest is the Stockton Group of Food for Less stores. They of course, are working with us on the Turkey Brigade. They did that this year, and they will continue to support us. We are in their stores on a regular basis, picking up day-old bread and that sort of thing. But they will also make contributions to us, turkeys, for example, in the holidays, but all the way through the year. Trader Joe's is another big one. C&S Wholesale Grocers, which is a multiple independent grocer supplier and one of the biggest wholesalers in the country, makes sure that we have enough dairy and eggs and things that we can keep going for our clients. Amazon has become an enormous partner. We get distributions from them on a weekly basis from all four of their centers in this area at Mountain House, Tracy, Lathrop, and Stockton.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks forget about the fresh food side of things. You know, we hear a lot about canned food drives and non-perishable items. That used to be, I felt like, you know, a long time ago, that used to be what was always donated to food banks. And we forget about, you know, we've done the distribution, the Thanksgiving distribution as a team many times actually. And, you know, the gallons of milk and the fresh eggs and the turkeys and the fresh produce is so important now, especially because I feel like there was a time when food banks, you know, it was just about food, but now we definitely think more about healthy food, right? Mm-hmm. It's not all about just food, but healthy food and how we make sure that everybody's getting that too. And I know Amy's going to ask you about that.
I was going to say, don't steal my question.
I know.
I have a healthy food question.
But I just think it's interesting because these grocery chains and stores and businesses that have stepped up have really, I think, filled one of those needs that, you know, well beyond just the canned food and the boxed food that I think was traditionally donated. Because I remember as a kid, we all brought canned food to school to donate. And that, you know, this was a long time ago. So, but I think, so Leonard, maybe you can clarify too. So the holidays are obviously important. So why should people remember beyond the holidays that there is still need? I mean, is holiday the peak season? Or are there other times a year where there, I mean, we know it's constant, but we want to remind people that it's not just about the holidays, right?
The holiday season, of course, is the peak season for people's awareness. It isn't always the biggest season, although any feast week would do, Easter, for example. But the biggest driver is economic conditions. And when it's tough and when unemployment goes up and when dollars become short, people come to the food bank because they're looking for a way to make it all knit together. So we'll actually be busier. And, you know, from a retailer standpoint, someone who did retailing for 30 plus years, the first of the month was always the time it was the busiest.
Right.
At the food bank, it's the last 2 weeks of the month.
Yeah, that gap.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Between services. That's wild. Wild, wild. So that's your friendly reminder that, yes, it's amazing that everyone's considering the food bank and doing their give back during the time of the holidays, but the need never stops. So, you know, mid-year, every quarter, whatever, just kind of try to keep that top of mind that there's still organizations that could use your help year-round. So as Wes was alluding to, Leonard, can you touch a bit on the Healthy Food RX program that you guys offer and tell us why that's been so successful at the food bank?
I'm pleased to do so because it is a wonderful program that actually equips our clients with skills and knowledge and makes them stronger. So it's not simply a food box, but a food course and a food ability and a food appreciation that they might not otherwise have. We partner with community medical centers here in Stockton, with the University of the Pacific, with the Center for Wellness and Health out of PHI in Sacramento, with APSARA, with El Concilio, and we're backed by Abbott's Laboratories Fund. And that is a foundation that Abbott has. So the Abbott Fund is our primary sponsor. We've been at it 3 years. We provide a medically tailored meal box, DoorDash delivered to a diagnosed patient with diabetes. So CMC will come through. We have a shared network called Unitas, and it's an electronic measure. And so we get a reference for a customer. We follow it up. We have community health workers on staff. Those are people who are trained by the San Joaquin County Health Department, and they're part of our staff. It's been a wonderful addition to the food bank over the last 2 years. And these are then enrolled in the program, and they get the food box. In the food box, there's a series of explanations about exactly how to use it and what to do with it. Then we have a Zoom cooking class. It shows them exactly what to do and answers their questions. We also have texting and coaching opportunities with them through electronics. And we do a YouTube library so that if you want to look something up, it's there. We do live cooking classes as well. Still, we've always done those, but to be honest, the Zoom, it has a larger reach and it gets more done for everybody. We have had this program now 2.5 years. We've serviced about 1,500 diagnosed people with diabetes. And the first 450 were a pilot study, and all of those results have been collated and examined and looked over by medical people, and they were just released here for 2021, were just released as the pilot study results. And we dropped the A1C for the patients in that program, the 450, dropped almost 1 point.
Oh my God.
0.8. We had a 30% improvement in self-management of diabetes. It went from 55 to 85%. We had a 10% improvement in food security, and we left them with skills and knowledge that they otherwise wouldn't have had. So we're pretty excited that we're continuing that program, and we've got 480 people enrolled out of a goal of 1,000 by the end of the year for the next group of people coming through the program. So we're working with multiple people to make sure that works on a consistent basis. That also spills out to having our nutrition educators at all of the health fairs for the University of Pacific Pharmacy and Diabetics program. We are with the Salvation Army, the YMCA, multiple other places such as Delta College, where we're in health fairs to give out food and information and diabetic education.
So how often were those participants being sent meals?
Every other week.
Wow.
On Wednesday.
That's amazing. That's amazing. My husband's diabetic. And so when that all came down, gosh, I don't know. He was diagnosed like 3 years ago or so. Bad food for you is really cheap. And good for food for you is not. So if you, and I mean, we're not food insecure by any means, but just thinking about people, because it's something that you can manage and you can treat and try to get back on track. But if you don't have the means to do that, that can be super detrimental to your long-term health. So that's a pretty incredible program that you guys are running there. And so techie, we got Zoom classes, we got DoorDash, we got all these things. Soon a drone will be dropping off your diabetic
you go
from the food bank to your front door.
I'm just
crazy.
So Leonard, that is amazing. All of that you're accomplishing. How big is your team at the Emergency Food Bank?
It's gone from 1.5 nutrition educators when I got to the food bank in 2020 in May. We now have 6.
Wow.
That's amazing. But it's so important. Like it just makes so much sense. I don't know.
Yeah. And so what about the rest of your team? What's the overall size of the food bank team there?
21 people.
Wow, what an operation.
Most of them are in nutrition education and in the warehouse because nutrition education also operates the mobile farmers market. And I need to make sure that I say something about that for a couple of reasons. It's a wonderful program. It is a prototype for how we did the Abbott program because you're taking fresh produce out to a site with 25 to 100 people coming to that particular distribution. And at that distribution, you're giving out the produce, you're giving out a nutrition education, you're talking one-on-one with them, and you're doing a live cooking demonstration to show them how to use it. Hmm. And that came out of an initiative from Steve Gutierrez, who was a supervisor here in San Joaquin County in 2008 and 2009. And he came to Tim Vile, who had my job, and to the fellow who was running Catholic Charities and said, can you do this? And they started small. And when we came up to 2020 in the pandemic, we had 58 sites. Today, we have 77. We're into the housing authority. Peter Ragsdale has given us a lot of opportunities to help. And we're also in Visionary Homes, as well as multiple community centers, senior centers, and schools with fresh produce and education on a regular basis. And that same six people are working that as well.
That's incredible. Amazing. I mean, I think it's what I love about it, too, is that traditionally, 15, 20 years ago, and maybe even less than that, but you had to go to the food bank to get your food. And now you're going where the need is. And that's not only to maybe blighted neighborhoods or to other pantries, but you're going to schools, I think, is a brilliant thing. And I just love the fact that you're being so proactive to meet the need and not, you know, making people come to you, I think, which was the traditional way for many, many, many years. So
in the pandemic, I got a call from 211 Family Services, and they said, we have 35 families who are unable to get to any kind of resource because of the lockdowns, and they're having them come to Fremont Park. Can you help? Yes, we put a truck there right away, and we grew that particular group to a DoorDash group out of the food bank. And by the time the pandemic ended, it was 900 families every Tuesday.
Damn.
Oh my, by DoorDash. That's incredible. That is incredible. So we just got through a lot of the holiday season. You a lot of people stepped up and volunteered at your Thanksgiving giveaway, and then also your Christmas ones that you do at the fairgrounds. But you obviously need volunteers year round. So let's talk a bit about what volunteer needs you have year round, and how do people volunteer at the food bank?
We have 21 people on staff, about 21 volunteers a day too.
Wow.
And sometimes we're really lucky and we get 30 or so, and we're able to work into a couple of days ahead. But we start at 7:30 in the morning with volunteers, and they usually work from 7:30 to 12:30 if they stay the whole distribution. And sometimes they come for a couple hours, and especially the groups, they'll come for a couple hours and they'll build boxes. But we really do need volunteers, and volunteers really took a hit in the pandemic.
No doubt.
We were able to, as most food banks were, to secure some help from the National Guard. And we also reached out on our own to AmeriCorps, and we ended up bringing in six consecutive AmeriCorps fellows teams that came at 10-week intervals. And we had to provide housing for them and some training in this. I mean, we did, first aid training, we did forklift training, we did leadership training to make sure that they walked away with certificates and that, as well as the experience of being in the food bank. And we have a team this fall. We've had one each fall now, and it's a wonderful experience, but we need people to come and give us a hand. Volunteering is really easy. It's a button on the website. The website is stocktonfoodbank.org. And you just hit the button, and there's a form that pops up, and you can say, I'd love to volunteer. The volunteer days are Monday through Friday from 7:30 to 12:30.
So I'm obviously behind the times, because I really feel like there was a time not that long ago where you only gave out food on certain days of the week. And I know that was probably a pain for the consumer, but how often are you actually distributing food to the community?
Monday through Friday, 9 to 12 for the pantry at the food bank. Mobile Farmers Market works Monday through Saturday, and the nutrition educators work, they actually split their shift because most of the health fairs are on the weekends.
Yeah. But I'm not crazy, right? There used to be like a set day.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's obviously meeting the need of our community, which 100%. Again, is, you know, amazing that your organization can do that among many other organizations in our community who provide food to our community. So there's such need. And I think that's why we wanted to talk to you on our podcast, because we just know that this is such an important thing for our community. Wow.
Yeah, 100%. And Leonard, with that, how can people donate to the food bank?
It's a simple process on the website, which is to go to stocktonfoodbank.org, and there's a donor button right on the first page, and it'll walk you right through it. But you can also send a check to us in the old-fashioned way.
All right.
And if you want to come down and visit, we'll welcome you. That's be happy to give you a tour of what we do. and show you where your money's going to go, because
that's awesome.
All of it goes into food and distribution.
So you mentioned, Leonard, that obviously you're giving out food at the food bank on Scott's 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. So somebody listening may know somebody that's food insecure. They may be food insecure themselves. Do you have to qualify, or what do you have to do to, as a consumer, as a person in the public, to get a box of food from the food bank?
You need to be a resident of San Joaquin County. And we ask for any kind of identification that has a San Joaquin address in it. Could be your driver's license, could be your utility bill, could be a rent statement, could be a telephone bill. Anything that you have that says that I live in San Joaquin County does it. The other thing is that we do not turn people down when they show up and they've never been to the food bank. If they pull up to the food bank and they say, I'm food insecure, I've got a problem, and they can't come up with a piece of identification at that time, we have people with laptops walking around doing this intake, and we write it all down and we say, here's your box of food. Yeah, and come back amazing. And bring it next time.
Yeah. So it brings up another question in my head that someone in listening may have is, how does the food bank does the food bank work with those in the unsheltered community?
Absolutely. We do several things. Yesterday, for example, our food nutrition experts were over at St. Mary's Dining Room giving out classes in nutrition and independent living. They go down there once a month. We do the same thing at Taft School with the school children up there. But we're doing it with St. Mary's because they asked us to get involved in helping people prepare for independent living. Secondly, we go out every Thursday with a wonderful group of nonprofits, the Salvation Army, CMC, Gospel Center, St. Mary's. We're out there with vans and we bring food and other people bring other things. And we walk right into the encampments and we take care of people for 3 hours every Thursday. Sometimes we go on other days if there happens to be something that comes up, but every Thursday for certain. We also have walk-ups from the homeless, and it generally is about 20 people a day who will walk into the food bank and ask for a box of food. We turn the box into bags they can carry and make sure that they're able to handle it.
Wow, that's amazing. Before I ask you the final question, which has absolutely nothing to do with the food bank, more of a personal question, but is there anything else you'd like to share about the food bank? Anything that we didn't ask today that you think would be important for people to know?
I think it's important for people to know that there are, out of those 21 people, most of them have been there between 6 and 10 years.
Mm.
Our warehouse manager, 17. He started as a volunteer, so that actually counts for 18. They believe and they want to help, and they're doing a good job. So give them a hand.
Yeah, no doubt. Nobody's getting rich working for a nonprofit. We know that. So it definitely is the heart's work for many folks over there. So yeah, that's a great point. I'm glad you recognize your team, Leonard. So Visit Stockton, we're here to promote the city and this is what we do. And of course, the good work that all of our nonprofits do is very important to us. But our last question is always about you, Leonard. And so when you have visitors that come to Stockton and visit you, what is your favorite place to bring them here in Stockton?
I always take them to the port because they don't believe it's there. And you can give them the entire history of back in the gold rush when it all started and how it came together in 1933 and how many, we're the fourth largest port. I mean, it's a big deal. And most people that I know had no idea.
Yeah, I would agree.
Crazy.
When you see those, seeing the water is one thing, but when you see an ocean going vessel that has traveled from Asia or Europe come in through our waterfront, you know, near our country club or downtown by Lewis Park, it is definitely a sight to see. So
yes.
I think you're the first person that's ever said that, Leonard.
We were at Leonard, my dad's restoring an old Navy ship. Wes is on the board. It's out by Lewis Park. And I had some friends visiting a couple weeks ago, and we were taking them on the ship, and one of those big ocean dwelling packer, whatever those huge ships are called, was driving by. And my friend John was doing the the truck driver honk, you know, for the ship, and they honked back at us.
Oh, great.
We were freaking out. So it was a boom, boom.
Yeah, those are
just a bunch of mid-30-year-olds freaking out about the horn. Yeah, it was so awesome.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful.
The old port. Well, Leonard, this was incredible. The fact that you've only been in Stockton 3.5 years and you are so committed to this community and to making sure people are safe and secure and healthy is super admirable. And I feel very slightly overwhelmed and very grateful that there's people like you here doing this work, and we appreciate it. And just thank you very much for doing what you're doing. And I hope you don't feel like it ever goes unnoticed. And we hope everyone out there listening gets on that website and goes spends a couple hours volunteering at the food bank. Wes likes to call it sweat equity, which we feel very strongly about in our offices, going out and physically doing some of the labor. It's great to donate money. If you want to go give Leonard all your money, by all means, you can do that also. But it feels very good to go in person and go kind of put in the work. Yeah. So
especially on the client-facing side, I think it's important to see that the people who go get food at the food bank look like you and I, like us. I think some people just need to see that sometimes, that these are just the people that we bump into every day in Stockton. Food insecurity doesn't mean that you are destitute and poor or unsheltered.
It can happen to anyone.
Yeah.
100%.
Thank you, Leonard, again.
Yes,
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And now we are going to head to our friend Anthony for a Stockton pop culture moment.
Thank you, Amy. December 1941, after the attack on Pearl Harbor, there was an immediate rise in the already present anti-Japanese sentiment throughout the U.S., including right here in San Joaquin County. When the internment of Japanese Americans began, the San Joaquin County Fairgrounds acted as one of those holding camps for the Japanese families in our area. While many showed nothing but vitriol toward these American citizens, there were some who would stand in defense of them. One of those defenders was Elizabeth Mary Humbarger. A native of Kansas, Elizabeth moved to Stockton in 1924 and became a high school and community college teacher. At the high school, she would become the faculty moderator of the Japanese Nikkei Club, which composed of 400 students. Having faced prejudice herself for being German and Catholic, she bonded with her students. When her students were interned on the fairgrounds, Humbarger set up a makeshift school over a cow barn and would teach the children there after her day job. She would also take old books from the school district warehouse to create a small library on the property. Because of her work, 92% of her students completed their studies for the school year. She also opened her home to Japanese American soldiers who were serving as translators at a POW camp in Byron. Her efforts came at a personal cost, as she faced hate hurled at her as she set foot on the fairgrounds. She received constant hate mail and was accused of helping the enemy. However, she was unfazed in her determination to help her students and their families. After the war, Elizabeth turned her residence into a hostel for returning Japanese students. After she retired in 1969, she was praised with honors and awards. She helped resurrect the Japanese American Citizenship League in Stockton, which would go on to raise $15,000 in scholarships for Japanese students. Then, in 1978, she received the greatest honor, the Order of the Sacred Treasure Fourth Class from the Emperor of Japan, honoring her remarkable service to those of Japanese descent. Elizabeth Humbarger died on July 14, 1989. 23 years later, in the spring of 2012, San Joaquin Delta College opened the beautiful Elizabeth Humbarger Tolerance Garden in her honor. A bronze plaque in the garden reads, "When Japanese American citizens were placed in concentration camps during World War II, she worked to improve the conditions in the camps and campaigned to get Japanese Americans released. Elizabeth's steady gaze, iron will to fight injustice, and promise of a better future continued for all her students until her retirement in 1969 and inspire us still today."
That's a great story. I've never heard that before. Thank you, Anthony.
I don't think I was familiar with that either. Where did you find that little nugget of information, Anthony?
Oh, you know, Wes, from the Competing Voices, A Critical History of Stockton, California by Ronald Eugene Izetti.
Anthony's Bible.
Yes. It is a cool book because I love, you know, I love Stockton history books, but that book is cool because it talks about these little stories about people. And it's not, the book is not always the positive part of Stockton's history. A lot of times we talk about Captain Weber did this, and then at this time we built a great theater, blah, blah, blah. This one really talks about the diverse voices of our community. So thank you for sharing that, Anthony.
Absolutely.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. We want to thank Leonard Hansen for joining us today to talk about the Stockton Emergency Food Bank. And be sure to give them a follow. Find them on social media. Go to their website. Check it out. And go in and get some of that sweat equity by volunteering over at the food bank.
Yes, we love it. And for supporting Images and Insights, follow at This Is Stockton Podcast on Instagram. And check out thisisstockton.com to subscribe and share. Stay up to date with everything going on in Stockton. Follow at Visit Stockton on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Pinterest, and YouTube. Until next time.
See ya. Thanks for listening to This Is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Wes Ray, Amy Alpers, and Anthony Estes with Visit Stockton, and produced by Relic.